still working? Good. That's good, because I broke it right before we hit the pews. Couldn't get it in my front pocket. It's been a wonderful day today. New sister in Christ. If you're like me and you're a person of the fall, it's good outside. You hope it doesn't freeze over tonight, but still, you know, it's a good day. Tonight, for a few moments, if you have your New Testament, you'd like to turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Bill started squabbing my sermon today in a slide that he had. And anyway, for a few moments tonight, we're going to look at comfort, or the second coming, or a Christian's comfort, or a Christian's hope. In 1 Thessalonians, as we're studying on Sunday morning, and I know if Bill gets to this later in the year, he'll probably cover this in a lot of detail. And in 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, starting in verse 13, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. And there were people at the church at Thessalonica that thought that the second coming of Jesus had already come and gone, and they had missed out. And he was writing this, not all of them believe that, but he was writing this to kind of correct a misconception, or misconception, some of the misconceptions that they had about the second coming of Jesus. And I think we don't have the same misconceptions that they had at Thessalonica. However, I've struggled with this for about 3 weeks, and I finally went to Danny Wednesday night and said, you know, I'd really like to present this this lesson. Because I think, just as what Bill put up on the overhead today about the second coming of Jesus, I think we have, as members of the body of Christ, I think we have some misconceptions as well. This is not going to be a doctrinal sermon tonight, and hopefully we'll be out before midnight. See, so you're already catching the jokes. This is good. Verse 13. I said, be more than that. Be more than that microphone that's broke. We stay here that long. In verse 13, Paul writes, he says, chapter 4, verse 13, he says, we do not want you to be uninformed or ignorant, brothers or sisters, concerning those who are sleeping, or those who've fallen asleep, those who've died, that you not be grieved as the rest of the people who have no hope. If we believe that Jesus died and arose again, or was resurrected, also, so also God will bring with him those who've fallen asleep in Jesus. This we say by way of the Lord's instruction. We who are living and who remain until the Lord comes will by no means go ahead of those who've fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with the shout of command, at the voice of the archangel, and at the sound of God's trumpet, will come down from heaven. And the dead ones in Christ will arise first. Then we who are still alive, or we who are living, those of us who remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, in the air. And we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort or encourage one another with these words. Concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you do not need to know of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. When they are saying peace and safety, and then destruction comes upon them suddenly as birth pains to a pregnant woman, they will by no means escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the darkness that the day should overtake you like a thief. For all of you are children of light and children of day. We are neither of the night or the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as the rest, but let us stay awake and remain alert. They who sleep at night, and they who are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be self-controlled, wearing the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us for wrath, but for salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or whether we are asleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, and he uses the term again, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, even as you are doing. The church at Thessalonica, they didn't have a problem with setting back and trying to necessarily look at the signs, because they knew that Jesus is just going to come. One day he's going to appear. So there's no need for us to sit around and necessarily look and see what day we think that's going to be, because we don't know. Wise men throughout history, from Isaac Newton on down, have tried to decipher Bible codes and everything else to try to find out when Jesus is coming back. It's amazing to me that someone that smart, who would believe that this is God's Word, and who had spent time studying it so much that he wrote commentaries on the book of Revelation on the life of Jesus, you would think that while he was looking at the life of Christ, he would have read that Jesus says, well, I don't even know when it is, nor the angels in heaven. That's given to the Father alone. Nevertheless, they look at Bible codes and try to find out when Jesus is coming back. Thessalonians didn't have a problem with that. He said, you know, he's coming. We just have to be ready to meet him. And notice the last verse that I read, verse 11. Therefore, encourage or comfort one another, once again, and build each other up, even as you're doing. So what he's saying there, he's saying they didn't have a problem with trying to build each other up either. They were doing that as well. Two great things that they were doing. What I'd like for us to look at is that section of Scripture, or at least parts of it, are usually read, most of the time when I read it, it's read at a funeral. It's read at a funeral of a Christian. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. It's talking about the second coming. And that when you go to the cemetery and you place someone, their physical body, to rest, that this isn't the end, it's just the beginning. And looking at what Christ said in John 5:29, that the day is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and will rise up again. Those who've done good to a resurrection of righteousness, and those who've done bad to a resurrection of judgment or condemnation. And we read these words within that context to comfort one another with these words. My question tonight, and what I would like for us to wrestle with for just a moment, because this is a wrestle sermon. It's not a 3 or 4 points. Comfort one another with these words. Encourage one another. Literally, if you take encourage together, have courage. Be courageous, because this is true. And we live in such a way as Christians to know that what we read is just true, or we should. The point that I would like for us to wrestle with is, how much comfort do we find in the second coming of Jesus? In Acts, the second chapter, in the very first gospel sermon, in fact, Peter kind of started the gospel sermon on Pentecost with the phrase, in these last days. You know, we're living in the last days. We don't have to worry about another age to come. This is it. There's not going to be another dispensation after this dispensation. When the Christian dispensation ends, we're going to have eternity with God. That's it. And we're fortunate to be living, I believe, in these days. I think we're very fortunate. We should be thankful and grateful that we have been put in the kingdom at this time for this reason and for this purpose. But the question remains, how much comfort do we find in the second coming of Jesus? The Apostle John wrote throughout the book of Revelation many times, even so, Lord, come, say it, church, quickly. He longed to be reunited with Jesus. We've never seen Jesus as John had, or James, or Peter or Paul in a vision. Yet I firmly believe, looking at their writings from the first century, that they longed to be reunited with Jesus. Do we long to see Jesus the first time? Is that what we long for in life? Do we have a growing, confident expectation that I want to see Jesus? There used to be a song in the old song book that I really loved, that my grandparents loved before me, and that when Danny would get up and lead it, he would look over to see where I was, because he knew that I was going to turn it loose. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Yeah. We're going to be singing that, because that's in the paperless hymnal, so it's coming back. All things going to come around. The question is, do we long to see Jesus? And I think, intellectually, we all do. Because we know that when that occurs, this world in which we live in, with all its shortcomings, with everything that's going wrong in our world today, if you just read the headlines from business, from local business, local government to international affairs, it's all gone. And you know what? We can sit around on Facebook, I do, and put stuff out there. But the reality is, when Jesus comes back, it doesn't matter what Putin wants. Do we have a confident expectation, a longing to see Jesus when we look at the world in which we live? Are we, here you go, is our walk close enough to Christ to say, Lord, come quickly? Because there's got to be a better place. There's got to be a better place for us to go. And intellectually, we know that there is. So we're going to read about it right now. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn over to the book of Revelation, we find in Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I heard a loud voice, verse 3 of 21, from the throne saying, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be their God and will be with them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more, neither mourning nor crying nor pain will ever be, for the former things, the things in which we're living right now, all have passed away. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I'm making all things new. When we pick up God's Word and we read about all things being made new, you ever think, you look around and you're thankful for God's creation? And you're wondering at it, and you're looking at all the beauties of it, and yes, it lives under a curse, and yes, there's thorns, and yes, there's poison ivy, and there's poison snakes, and everything else. There's sin, there's sickness, there's death, disease, decay. Yeah, you have all those things, but even with those things, there's still a touch of God in His creation, in the creation in which we live. You ever look at the creation and think, what would it have been like in the garden, when everything was new, when everything was perfect before the first choice for sin, when death and decay and disease and curse came into the world, what would it have been like then? Would you like to see a world that God could put together that looked like that? Well, guess what? As a Christian, in some way, sense, shape, or form, Jesus is making all things once again new. In that fellowship that was broken is being restored on a daily basis. being restored on a daily basis. Because in the garden, as beautiful and as perfect as every sunrise and sunset was, and I'd have missed all the sunrises, I just had the sunsets. The thing that made the garden the place to be was that God had fellowship with man. And at the second coming of Christ, all things will be made new. They will be restored. And that fellowship that was broken in the garden will be restored. And it won't be that heaven is so great or perfect or we'll care about the streets of gold. It's that we'll have fellowship with God. And He'll wipe away the tears and the heartaches and the pain and the things that have gone wrong in this life. That's what makes heaven heaven, because that's where God is. Did you find comfort in that? Can you say, I want that? Come quickly. What about for those that you love? We've all lost loved ones that were faithful Christians. People that we've known for our life, for part of our life, or here in this fellowship, or throughout, wherever you've known them. Do you long for that restoration of fellowship with them? Even though God was with Adam and Eve in the garden, guess what? Adam and Eve knew that each other was there, even though God was as well. There will be a time of restored fellowship. Maybe not just with God, but also with the beloved saints who've gone on before us. We can read about finding comfort or encouragement in those words and those thoughts. But my question tonight is, as you look at that, and as we read the scriptures, comfort, therefore, because it's true, therefore, comfort one another with these words. When we think about the second coming, do we think about comfort? Do we think about restoration? Do we think about all things being remade new? Do we think about the former things being passed away? Do we think about restored fellowship? Do we think about being with God? Do we think about God taking care of us in ways in which, you know, we've just struggled through? Because in my walk, from time to time, I cry. Or I'm mad. Or I have other things that, as I try to live my Christian life, that I'm trying to get to where I need to go. And God's helping me through that. But if you read what John writes, he says he's making all things new. He's going to wipe away your tears. He's going to wipe away the former things that you didn't like. In the book of Revelation, coming up, it says in verse 22, and he showed me a river, the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God, from the Lamb, and in the middle of the city's wide street, on both sides of the rivers, the tree of life. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in His city. And they will look upon His face, His servants will. And His name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no night there. There have no need for the lamp of light or for the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and He will reign forever and forever. And He said to me, dependable and true, these words are, the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent His angel to show His servants what things must happen soon. Verse 7 of 22, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. I, John, I'm the one who heard and saw these things. After I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he says, I am your fellow servant. Do not bow down in front of me. And of your brothers and of the prophets and those who keep the word of this book. Don't worship me, but worship God. Verse 12, I am coming soon. And my reward is with me to give to each according to his work. If you read that in a red letter edition, you'll notice that those are the words of Christ. I am coming soon, and I am bringing a reward with me. In your Christian life, you may struggle. You may struggle as you walk. You may struggle to get through the day-to-day things that you have to get through. You may struggle with whatever life comes and throws at your doorstep. And that's really Satan. But one day, Jesus is coming. And it won't be the world at the door. And what we find at the door will not be heartache, despair, poverty, tears, sickness, pain, death, separation, and parting. What we'll find is a divine reward. You see, we can sit here and we can love each other and we can hug and we can pray and we can go our separate ways and we can go home and we can read our Bibles and we can get up tomorrow and we can go to work and we can influence the people there. But the question is, do I find comfort knowing that Jesus is going to come back? Because if you can't, there's something wrong with your heart. Because this place is not our home. It's a place we're going through to get to where we belong. Because what did we read in 1 Thessalonians? He has not appointed us to wrath, but to salvation. Salvation isn't found where God isn't. Salvation is found where God is. We may lose those we love. And if we live long enough, who knows? Maybe everyone here tonight will pass from this earth without seeing the second coming of Jesus. Paul says, we're the ones blessed because we're going to be the first ones to rise to be with him. I hope that as we live our life this week and in weeks to come and years to come, that we look as the second coming, not as what we're going to lose, not as what the world has for us, but we look as the second coming as a time of restoration to find comfort that Jesus is coming again, because he is. He's coming for those who love him. He's coming for those who believe in him. He's coming for those who obey him. He's coming for those who serve him. And he's coming once again for those people to make all things known. And as John said, Brother Hill picked the invitation song this evening, softly and tenderly. We live our life on a day-to-day basis. And as Josh was preaching this morning, did a wonderful job on the paralytic and the friends, I noticed something that I hadn't noticed before, and I don't know why I hadn't noticed it. Jesus said he saw their faith. Their faith. Not just the guy that was on the cot, but their faith. Their faith. And what did he give to the man in need because of someone else's faith? What that person needed most. I think a lot of times one of the things that gets us in this world where we don't find comfort is that we're one of those four people carrying the cot. And when we get the person to Jesus to get them blessed, we're like, where's our blessing? We're the one that came through the roof. We're the one that carried him. He's the one that has need. Do you know that there's nothing that is said about those four guys? I assume that they were men. Those four people that were carrying the paralytic. You know why? You know why I think their faith was as perfect as it could be? Because they knew they had a friend that needed Jesus. And they didn't care that there wasn't a blessing for them. They just knew he needed the blessing. We need to look around in our lives and see who needs to be blessed around about us. We need to find comfort that Jesus is going to come back. So as we sing the word softly and tenderly, if you need the prayers of the church or if you'd like to put Christ on the baptism this evening, please make that known while together we stand and while we sing.